CKIWI Radio. We all love our sports authority.
Okay, huddle up, sports fans. Live from Studio B, it's showtime for Ken, Mark, and John, the sports authorities, here on the new CKIW Radio 76.
There we go.
Yay, welcome to, as he swings way into Studio B here, running down the hallway like a madman, because he's making stew and he doesn't know why Instapot goes to burn all the time. If you do, call us at 5886. Drives me nuts.
Set the feeders on stun, huh?
I had everything else, you know, with the other pot, with the Cuisinart pot, which was supposed to be slower and not as easy and all that stuff. I mean, it's supposed to be like magic. You put it in there, and it's supposed to be a beautiful thing, and it doesn't. It blows. So now we're disgusted with it. We're going to throw it away. Anyways.
Maybe we just need just a smoke pot or something. I don't know.
Maybe we just need a smoke. We're glad to see you here at the Detroit Sports Authorities.
Detroit.
That's right. Detroit. That's right.
Just like Calgary.
Yeah. I mean, what other, like, Canadian hockey sayings are there besides Donnybrook, BC two-hander?
Organization.
But it's a weird way to say it. It's an I don't think you can even do it again. Organization.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll have
it's
to,
a strange accent on it.
Yeah, we're going to have to look that. We'll have to have the intern look that up.
But whatever, not as a strange accent as us. John Sarver here, of course, Studio B, here at CKIW Radio 76. You have just walked into the Detroit Sports Authorities, who are not bought and paid for by anybody, so we can tell you exactly how it is. We do have the finest standards here. That's
the absolute highest. In the industry.
That's right. That's why our seats have all kinds of... what do they have for those wedding receptions where they put the linen over the seat? Never understood that. You know what I always want to do? I always want to get a Baby Ruth and leave it on the seat half melted. Okay, there you go. Next. But what's not?
Or throw one in a pool.
That's right, dirty. But what's not dirty is our. Look at this. Look what we have as number 7 this week. Oh boy, oh boy. Is our super CPA, Ken Pocket. Hiya, Kenny.
Hi, John, and hello to everyone out there that's listening to us.
And if you're listening to us, you're also listening to our sport director here at CKW Radio 76, Mark Milichak. Hiya, Mark.
Hi, John. Hi, Kenny. Hi, everybody out in Radio Land.
There you go. I'm talking about Radio Land. If we're ready to start everything off.
Don't forget your buzzer thing.
We got it. We're all set.
Okay, all right. Well,
we aren't mere experts, though. That's we are authorities.
That's right. That puts us one above anything that you've ever heard on ESPN, who is, by the way, tanking again. Wait a minute. I'll get a tank sound for you. Just. Yeah, speak amongst
yourself. I want John to make sure and have his buzzer because when I say Toronto, I want to hear the boo button or the bomb.
That's ESPN.
Yeah, there we go. I feel right at home now.
That's right. It's funny how the boo button, just happens to be blue.
Blue.
Yeah, I gotta say, I had a lot of fun last week watching the Red Wings beat the Maple Leafs.
Boy, that was a dandy game, and you can't blame the referees on this one.
No, and it's so funny because I texted Mark after the game about Mickey Redmond, and he said, oh, I turned him off, he's a dickhead. It's like, ooh, he's in a good mood tonight.
Yeah.
Mickey Redmond, one of the worst announcers, Homer announcers ever.
He knows it. Well, then you're a good Homer, then, aren't you?
Well,
I mean, if that's what makes everybody else mad.
He's a Red Wing announcer, and Mark, the Maple Leaf man that he is.
Homer.
Has to watch his Maple Leafs on the Red Wing channel, which is horrible because the NHL network blacks it out because...
So email Mark at mark67anddry.com@gmail.
But that's okay. Maple Leafs still have more Stanley Cups than the Red Wings. So.
Yeah, but not any time since we've been alive.
But that's okay.
No, it's not okay.
It goes by how many.
And who was first to get theirs?
What do you mean, who's first?
Who's first to get the Stanley Cup between the two teams? All of a sudden, we have a sudden memory loss.
Probably Montreal.
It was Detroit. Between Toronto and Detroit, who got theirs first? So it counts who got it first and who got it last, which would make Detroit. There you go.
It counts by how many? Look at this. The amount.
Here's
the Maple Leafs have one more Stanley Cup than the Red Wings.
Here's my bale of hay.
But this is the question that I have.
Grab that straw.
If they happened before you were born, does it count?
No, that's why we don't count anything for Detroit for the Lions.
Lions, yeah. I mean,
Jesus God.
They're old for my lifetime.
That's amazing. That is totally amazing. That means that just every person in that front office has never seen a winner.
No.
Ever from Detroit. No. God. I mean, what have they gone? They've gone through three stadiums, and they still haven't made a winner. Three whole stadiums.
Not only haven't they won the Super Bowl, they haven't been in the Super Bowl.
They haven't even been to the finals.
The conference finals? Yeah, they did.
When?
91. They got slammed by the Redskins.
Wah, wah.
Wasn't that when the Redskins got like 50 points on them or something?
It was 61, I think.
Or whatever.
It was horrible.
Yeah.
Where's my wallet?
Yeah, it was.
There you go. There you be.
Yeah.
50, 60, does it make a difference?
Yeah, it was a crushing. Yeah.
So what did that have to be? That means they'd have to win the Central and then won the NFC?
Yeah.
Wow. In 91, which means they had momentum going into 92.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how much did that do them?
They had a bad year in 92, came back and won the division in 93, and then lost a home game against the Packers in the playoffs.
That's disgusting.
And then that's kind of
it. See you later. Yep.
They haven't won the division since. Haven't won a playoff game since.
Haven't won the division since 93?
Yep. 25 years. And counting. And you only have three other teams in your damn division.
Well, we're going to give them one more year.
Yeah.
This is a true Detroit fan, Lion fan. We'll give them one more year. Then what happens?
Yeah.
I mean, you've been giving them one more year for over a half a century. One more year.
And then what happens when they're 8-8 next year? What are you going to say? We'll give them next year.
One more year.
Well, we'll give them one more year next year.
They're building. They're making progress.
But really, I have never seen, there has never ever been a more of a kiss-ass than Detroit Lion fans with this quarterback who's shit, by the way. You know, it's like, well, we never give him a wide receiver. Well, we never have a running back. Well, we never give him an O-line. Uh-huh. Well, maybe he should produce on his fucking own. How about this, kids?
Yeah. Well, all I have to say to you Lions fans,
shut up!
You're a bunch of dumbasses.
You are.
I don't care what you think of me. Just because I'm a Maple Leaf fan, you can give me shit? Whatever. You Lions fans are a bunch of dumb assholes.
But you know what?
Thank you.
It's not just the Lions. I think most NFL teams or fans are a bunch of idiots because most of these teams are shit. You know, we talk about Stafford, but I took a look at the quarterbacks were drafted in the first round the last 10 years, and if you were drafting it between 2009 and 2015. And you really needed a quarterback, you're screwed. Listen to this group. 2009, Stafford, Mark Sanchez, and Josh Freeman. 2010, Sam Bradford, Tim Tebow. Ooh. 2011, Cam Newton, Jake Locker, Blaine Gabbert, Christian Ponder. 12, Andrew Luck, Robert Griffin III, Ryan Tannehill, Brandon Whedon. 13, E.J. Manuel. 2014, Blake Bortles, Johnny Manziel, your favorite.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Teddy Bridgewater. 2015, Jamie, 16, 17, 18. You got some pretty good guys coming out. But you got a 7-year block there. Stafford was the best of the bunch for 7 years.
And that says what?
That says that you were screwed if you needed a quarterback. And that's the problem. There are so few good ones going around. You hear people say, well, we should get rid of Stafford. We should draft a quarterback in the first round. Well, who?
Good luck with that.
Who? Is there anybody coming out that's worth a first-round pick? Are you sure? Do you know?
Yeah, well, that's what they said last year, though. I mean, they said that about Mayfield, too. And it's like, why did you take a quarterback number one overall? Well, now you see the reason why.
Yeah.
He's busting ass. He was a great number one pick.
Well, so far.
For a quarterback.
We're 1 year in. I mean, we'll see. Okay? I mean, there are guys that fizzle out early. You know, it all depends.
But I mean, there's great quarterbacks in the NFL. They had to come somewhere.
There's no magic wand, okay? You can't wave a wand over a guy and poof, he's worth a first-round pick. You don't know, okay? And,
well, it's like you don't take a running quarterback out of college because they never transfer into the NFL.
Yeah.
Ever, but never, but never. How do you like your team, Buccaneers? You know?
Yeah.
How is that guy, Winston, even supposed to be decent? I never thought he was, I mean, he's a good college quarterback, but that's about it. When you're playing Shrine a Little Flower, you know, I never thought he was that good. I never thought that Williams was good that either, too. But.
So, I mean, it comes down to this. You got Stafford. It doesn't matter what you say. You got Stafford. You're locked into him for 2 more years, come hell or high water. He's only going to give you what he's going to give you.
Yeah, he's not that good.
It isn't, oh, great, you know, we're going to the playoffs, we're going to the... No, you're not. You've got Stafford for 2 more years. And what will he give you?
Nothing.
Marginal play.
Yeah, Stafford.
Yeah.
You know, just so, pad up that fourth quarter stat with 3 minutes to go, and you're down 14 or down 16.
So in the meantime, yeah, maybe you're going to add a guy on the defensive line. Maybe you add a linebacker. Maybe you add this. Well, yeah, okay, except you got a low ceiling, okay? And then if you decide after that you're going to roll the dice again and try another quarterback, well, it depends on what's available. But it absolutely depends on what's available. And good ones, real good ones, are hard to find.
Yeah, but would you take, well, I was going to say, would you take the guy out of Oklahoma this year? But he's going to go to baseball anyways.
Yeah.
Kyler Murray is a running quarterback.
If
he ended up staying in football, he would end up probably being a wide receiver.
But you'd better hurry up because Rodgers is gone. You know, I mean, this is like kind of that time where Marino and Montana left. And everybody went, ooh, who's the quarterback? The NFL, you'd always used to talk about their quarterbacks. Not anymore. You know, it's not the Johnny Unitas League where everybody looked at who your quarterback was. It's kind of irrelevant sometimes now, especially with, like, people like Minnesota, you know, totally irrelevant, you know. And Jesus, talk about a team tanking.
Wow.
You know, you guys, I mean, they came out like gangbusters in the beginning of the year. They better hope to win against Detroit, you know.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, anybody hit the skids, it's the Panthers. Carolina, they've lost, what, 5 in a row now? Oh, yuck. You know, for all the hype that Cam Newton gets.
Yeah, why?
He's inconsistent. He really is.
Yeah, I mean, he reminds me of RG3.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just like hype
with a better
week.
Arm.
Yeah.
Well, hype 1 week and not. I mean, really, look at Mariota when he came out. Everybody thought, oh boy, and it's just like you said before, you know, the mic. I mean, you take a look at our fine friend in Tampa and Mariota, and those two guys are supposed to be, you know, the yin and yang of young quarterbacks.
Yeah,
and it's like Mariota's done, once he's healthy, what has he done?
Yeah.
You know, but then, well, quarterbacks need to be to 27 before they mature. But yeah, I guess they do.
Fine.
But then
not all of them, but a lot of them do. Yeah, fine.
Okay. So then you better start drafting. Then it makes sense for you to draft a quarterback now, you know, and then wait the 5 years.
Yeah.
You know, if it's not somebody that has come out. You know, really, how many quarterbacks have come out of Alabama?
Ew.
Yeah, right. So you have the number one team in the world who could conceivably be an NFL team at any given year, you know.
Uh-huh.
How come they don't have quarterbacks that come out? You know, how come they don't have running backs that come out?
Yeah, good question.
I mean, you would think that
they
the number one team.
Defensive players that come out all over the place.
Oh, and yeah, this is going to be defensive.
Defensive and offensive linemen and
safeties
and...
Yeah, but are they going to acquiesce and say, well, we got to give Stafford more tools, you know?
Stop with the tools already. He's a tool.
You gave him a decade worth of tools.
What you need to give Stafford is a team that doesn't need
boot
him.
In the ass.
That doesn't need him to play great. You need a team that can play great in other facets of the game, and whatever he gives you, he gives you.
True. I mean, Mark and I were watching that game on Sunday, and it was like... it was a crap fest, to be sure. I mean, it wasn't even an NFL game. That's what cracked me up, because it kept having this like little sounder in the corner. Game of the week! Game of the week! Uh-huh. How is this game of the week? You know, two crap teams where, I mean, I don't know if Monday Night Football has that anymore, where they can decide within 2 weeks who they want to have. You know, they're looking at the matchup.
I don't think so. No, I think the schedule's made up at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah, but ESPN could go, I mean, ABC at the time, could call an audible and go, okay, well, let's see now. Yeah, you're right. So how would they do that? Eh, amazing, but true.
Yeah.
But there you go. I mean, there is football that you like, and it was Mark and I were tooting around, and we were, you know, listening to Spot Radio, surprisingly. But it's the same old thing every Monday. You know, oh, the Lions need to get rid of the forwards. That ain't going to happen. You don't get the power for it.
Yeah.
Oh, the Lions, well, they need to get rid of the coordinator. You don't have that say. You know, what you do have the say of is don't go.
Yeah.
Pardon me. Just don't go. You want to get your money? That's the one thing you can control. You know, if they have to put the little Art Van seats at Ford Field, that would get the message through. But then again, and that's what we got to get the intern on, how much money is per team is TV worth?
Yeah, where does it go to where the team can break even?
Yeah, and not sell a ticket.
Well, here's the other thing. I haven't been to a Lions game in years.
Okay.
Whatever seat I would have taken, somebody else is sitting in.
Mm-hmm.
So you tell your typical Lions fan, well, don't go. Problem is there's a line waiting for the damn seat.
But you almost want to get them on the...
Another dumbass that wants to go to a game.
You want to, you put them down on the... I mean, I think there's a one-game curiosity to see what it's all about. It didn't impress me any. None. And I almost is slightly embarrassed that I'm going to go all rah-rah for a team that you know is a loser.
Yeah.
Why do you back a loser? You know, present company accepted. You know? I mean, why do you, like, go and spend all this money, take all this time and all this stuff for a team that has, you know, for half century, not won?
Not only not win, but has an attitude.
Yeah, of not winning. We don't give a damn.
They have a don't care attitude.
Not only a don't care attitude, but they take their fans for granted.
Because?
They're just...
Because they can.
Yeah.
Because you idiot Lion fans do the same damn thing. You know, oh, I can't give up my... I mean, you guys are Linus and the Great Pumpkin. I can't give up my seats. Maybe next year this will be the year, and I'll never get these seats back. Oh, well. I mean, do the quick math, and that's...
But again, that's it goes back to, yeah, well, you know, it's the bigger fool theory, and there's a bigger fool waiting for my seat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, these are the guys that won't go another 40 cents... You know, on a 0.5 millage for schools for their streets. Oh, hell of that. I'll never pay that. But they'll pay $2,400 a year to see a loser. Yeah. Okay, whatever. Yeah.
Who cares if the potholes
swallows
my SUV?
Sports is a kind of a kick-in, which is kind of nice, but it's not an absolute, which is really kind of weird. So if you started from 58 to now, so 60 times 2,400... Yeah.
Oh, I don't even want to run that number. Yuck.
What is that?
What's that?
2,400 times 60.
All right.
Even though it wouldn't be $2,400, but because of the sliding, you know, I don't think that back in Briggs Stadium, you know, the tickets are $2,400.
But just using those numbers, $144,000.
All right, so $144,000 gets you a nice three-bedroom house at Warren at 12 and Ryan, you know, that you
could free and clear.
Yeah, definitely free and clear. And then you could watch any football game all day long, and you would still be ahead because you would still never have seen a winner, ever seen a winner. You know, so you might as well have a whole house to, like, zip around in.
Well, you know, here's the thing, though. If you do buy season tickets and you go to Ford Field religiously, you do get to see a winner. Three or four home games, you have a winning team coming in.
Yeah, that. The team that shows up.
Yeah.
At least one out of the eight teams that show up is going to be a winner.
Yeah.
Well, you hear these idiots go, well, why do you go, you know, to see these guys lose? Oh, I like football. You haven't seen football. You know, you're seeing Pee Wee Pop Herman or whatever. Pop Warner, running all around, and that's basically all you get for your money. You know, how much of an idiot are you?
And here's the thing. If you like football, quote-unquote, they play it at the high school.
Yeah.
Cost you $5 to get in.
And they win.
Yeah.
You know, or once you get on the D'Antonio train, you know, I mean, if you like football, then you can be a fair weather fan everywhere because you want to see good football. You know, maybe they say they're a football fan, but they're not a good football fan. They don't want to see.
Oh, they like football. Lousy football. That's
yeah. I mean, it's kind of like the Stockholm syndrome. You know what I mean? I mean, it's kind of like the idiots that liked the Cubs for so long.
Yeah.
You know, or the Red Sox for so long. It's like, well, this year, because in somehow, some way, they get this little perverse happiness about when they do actually hit. Well, I was a fan since 1903. Yeah, you were. So what? You know, that just means that you were that much of an idiot for that long. You know?
A martyr.
Yeah.
You were a martyr.
Yeah. I mean, don't you have anything else going on in your life?
Look at how much I've suffered. Poor me. Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like, why don't you, like, still have, like, posters of Dukakis in your house? You know? Yeah, I like him. You know, it's like everybody that, you know, lost in a presidential thing. You know, oh, here's my, you know, picture of H.R. Bush. Okay, no. I mean, you guys have, why do you back losers? And in sports, the whole nine yards is to win every year, to win it all every year. It's never a goal of any professional sport team to come in fourth,
right,
ever.
Right.
You know, you were supposed to win every year. And if you don't win every year, because then stupid ass sport radio, over the air radio, they're so idiotic. They always go, well, if they go 8-8 this year, is that a bad season for them? Yeah.
Yeah.
Next. Well, the people are like, no, because, you know, now the guys have figured out what they have to do and all that stuff. It's you know what, really? It's like we heard, too. There is no coach in the world, if you win your last three games, next year goes, guys, remember when we won those last three games? You know, they don't care. No. They're talking about the here and now, and let's go for the next, you know, 16 that we have in front of us.
Guys won't even be there for those that next season.
And here's the other thing. You look at the Lions' last four games. Arizona, you played in Arizona. Arizona's a horrible team.
Yeah.
Now you're going to go to Buffalo, another horrible team. You got Minnesota coming in, and here they're on the rocks.
Yeah.
And then you finish in Green Bay, and Green Bay's just imploding, okay?
They've imploded for 2 years.
If you win three of the last four games, does it mean you have momentum, or does it mean you have a soft schedule at the end of the year?
Extreme. There's nobody that says, boy, we really did well by beating the bottom bucket teams.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, and then the bottom bucket teams
After they stop playing for something.
Yeah, right. And then they're all laughing going, thanks, because that just put our draft even better. And you guys are going, oh, look, we beat you.
We get the seventh choice, and now you get the 15th or 20th because you just got done winning games that you shouldn't even bother winning.
Ain't that deep, because now that puts Alliance into the best athlete that's on the board still, and that's always a bad draft.
Yeah.
Always, because God knows if it's another, you know, left tackle, you know, which may be Nate, you know, six deep in.
Well, not only that, but football is such a funny game because a lot of times you have to draft a guy that fits into what you're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? If you draft a guy that's used to playing the 3-4 and you play the 4-3, yeah, good luck there.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times they can't make the adjustment.
You can't make the, you know, a right tackle into a left guard.
Yeah.
It doesn't work. I mean, Riley Reiff, hello.
Yeah.
You know, of all that stuff where you think it's going to be kind of good and the guy that could possibly fit that slot, that just shows, you know, it's really, you think about it, all the stars that are on the team right now for Detroit are all Matthew Mayhew guys.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, those are all, and everybody, they ran him out of town because he was junk, you know, and he really was. I mean, and the weird thing was, he was only supposed to be a stopgap, you know, but then again, with the Maldives that the Ford family has, like, well, you're there, might as well keep it there.
Yeah.
We got to find out how much the NFL TV package is worth, you know. That would be kind of the big thing because then you go, how much is it worth divided by all the teams, divided by how much money is the cap in the NFL, which would be a little bit more than, I would assume, hockey, but probably a little bit less than baseball.
The NFL salary cap, I think, is like $100
million. $100 million?
I think, isn't it?
Really? Wow. Even I'm impressed. Because, man, if they're $100 million, then you can...
Okay, TV revenue per team in 2017 was $255 million.
Okay, and a salary cap of $100
million? Isn't the NFL salary cap like right around $100
million? Yeah, let me check.
Because if that's $100 million, if they get $250 million, then that's $150 million to spread around. They don't have to sell ticket one, ever.
NHL, not NHL, NFL yet.
Not University of Michigan swimming either.
I thought the salary cap for NFL was like $100 million or something.
Then it's right. Then you don't ever have to spend...
187.
187, okay.
Mm-hmm. All right, so 250 minus 187.
Yeah.
Okay, so come if on, you get CPA. 200... So if you
72.
Get,
all right, so you got $72 million over and above, and so that pays for incidentals. So that's all your salary requirements, and $72 million mm-hmm. goes a long way in paying front office, mm-hmm. and goes a long way in paying, the incrementals for Ford Field, you know. I mean, considering you only got 8 games.
So it isn't that hard to turn a profit.
You don't have to. You don't have to sell ticket one.
Yeah, you do. You have to sell some. And let's face it, when you sell them, you rake them over the coals. You bend them over, pull their pants down, and do your business with them. Because if people come with their wallets open.
If you got 72 divided by 8, so that's about $9 million. You're not spending $9 million a game there, you know. But then again, throughout the year.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, what are you doing? I mean, you have a tax abatement for years, so you're not paying taxes on the joint.
Well, that was the league, not the teams.
But who pays for security? Who pays for all that? That's
Yeah,
but so
that comes out of there.
You're paying $10 million. Are you paying $10 million a game for security and lights and all that stuff? Because that's basically what it boils down to. You know, $10 million per. So you're at that edge where you really don't have to sell.
Let's not forget travel. You got to fly the team around to the different games. There's a lot of costs that are. But still, let's say that you're in a position where you have a stadium. It's got a capacity.
Wait a minute. Go backward. You're right. But I was just thinking they didn't. They're not at the salary cap.
No.
So if you're like at $100 million and you got $180 million, so and you're getting $250 million, yeah, that means you still have $150 million. My mistake. Yeah. I didn't mean to cut. But I was just like, okay, so that's the worst case scenario. But they're nowhere near that, so they don't have to sell ticket one.
Yeah.
But you were saying, Ken, I'm sorry.
What I'm saying is you're going to sell tickets. I mean,
By far.
You fill the stadium. Let's say you get a capacity of 45. Even if you sell 30,000 tickets, I mean, you're still making a lot of revenue from people coming to watch your team because you got to pay for parking. They got to pay for the ticket. They're going to pay up the wazoo for a beer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, geez. So by the time you're done, you've dropped, you know, for two people watching the game, you probably dropped close to $400.
You want to know how much, you know, it costs for a keg of beer nowadays? You know? Because whatever it is, and how many cups of how many 12-ounce glasses can you get out of a keg of beer, you know, times 9, you know, so you've already paid. I mean, that stuff's paying you back. I mean, how much is a keg of beer? How much is a keg? I mean, at retail, you know, I mean, what kind of sweetheart deal did Coca-Cola give you? Did Budweiser give you? To get their stuff, their product in there, you know? And then how much of that profit's going back to you?
Yeah.
You know? I mean, you're running the whole store. So you kind of go, okay, that's nothing but profit. That's keeping, I mean, that's paying for the ushers, just your beer alone, because you're paying these guys $10 an hour, maybe. Yeah.
Plus, you got to pay for all the concession people.
Not necessarily.
Unless that's included, maybe that's included in the package to have all the people there, too.
Well, the Palace used to do that wonderful thing of saying, look, you little groups, you know, charity groups and stuff like that, you work the booth, you get, like, a small percentage, like 8% or 4% of whatever you guys sold. You know, and they're going, okay, great. We don't even have to pay for you people. Right. You're slave labor for 4%. Awesome.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Here's the statistics. A keg of Bud Light costs $87.
Retail?
And 124 pints per keg.
Okay. So, how many ounces in a pint?
16.
And how many pints in a keg?
124
times 9. Okay, let me get the calculator out.
Okay.
124. Hang on, let me cancel this shit out here.
Carry the 3 minus the bone.
124 times
9.
9 is 1116.
And how much was the keg?
87.
So 87 minus or 100 1000 whatever.
So minus they're making almost $1100 per keg.
Yeah, 1029.
Yeah.
Per keg.
Yep.
Per keg.
Yep.
All right.
And how much you want to bet?
That's at retail.
And how much you want to bet they're getting that keg for less than that?
Oh, hell yes.
Oh, yeah.
They're probably getting it for half that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. So we're doing a little bit of NFL math here, you know. Oh, hell yeah. And how much of that money's going back, you know. And then the sponsorship to put the Budweiser sign up there in Ford Field.
Oh, yeah.
How much is Bud paying for that?
Yeah.
You know,
every damn square inch of that place is an ad.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you go there, you get inundated with all these ads. You're overpaying for concessions. You overpay to park. You overpay for the ticket. You pay. Okay? And I can understand that if you say, this is in my budget. That's fine. I don't have a problem paying it because I enjoy the experience.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've got a good team.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we win. Maybe not every year, but we win. And that's one thing, okay?
Win?
That's not what we're talking here. We're not talking about, gee, this team, you know, we got a good quarterback. It's a lot of fun watching them. What do you always hear from Lions fans? Oh, it's so frustrating. I tore my hair out. Yeah.
I'll be back next week.
Yeah. It's like, you
goddamn Lions fans, you sit there and all we hear on Mondays, you bitch about everything about how the team sucks and this and that and this and that. What do you do? The next, home game, you go right back for the same shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you guys say the same damn thing year after year, decade after decade. You know, it would be very interesting to see how much money does an NFL team bring in per game. Forget about the TV thingy. I mean, just on the people, the sore saps coming in. Because, really, you think about that parking by Ford Field.
Uh-huh.
I mean, once you paid for that parking structure, you're not doing anything. You don't staff it. You don't warm it. You don't pay it. You don't know. It's a slab of concrete
for $35. You get some janitor comes and sweeps it out once a week.
Maybe. You know? And that's what you get. And that's pure money, Sonny.
Yeah, uh-huh.
I mean, that's why Little Gougers Arena, you know, at $40 a game, you know, $40 a carload, holy crap, you know. But then again, you guys pay it, so peace out.
Yeah.
You know, just, I mean, we're talking about this, Mark and I were talking about this yesterday. The smartest fans in Detroit are Tiger fans, so far. Because if you're a winner, they will go. If you produce, they will go. You don't go, peace. Second only to Red Wing fans, you know. I mean, Red Wing fans, where you have to put the black over the seats.
Time out. How about Piston fans? Oh, I'm sorry, there aren't any.
Yeah. No. The Pistons is most of like a curiosity in Detroit.
Yeah.
You know, when you guys win, we'll hop on the fence. If you're not, that's a nice
little
team.
That's pretty much what you're talking about, though. They're not people that are going to hang around if the team
True.
Isn't winning.
True that. Right? So maybe they go ahead of the class.
Right. That's what I would say. And I look at the Tigers. One of the problems with the Tigers is you have 81 home games every year. Okay? It's not like you got 8 home games. It's not like you have 40. You have 81 home games. That's a lot of games. Okay? So, yeah. I mean, if the team isn't doing well and somebody normally would go to a dozen games
in
a year.
Summer.
And then they go to 4 instead of 12. Yeah, okay, so, I mean, they're still going, but they're not going as frequently. And that's where you see the drop in attendance. But I don't think there's a lot of real true Blue Tiger fans that won't ever go to see the game, a game, you know, during the year, even if they're not good.
Well, I would say that you got that much of a true blue fanship of any team. Mostly, you got to get the casual fan through the turnstiles, you know, and they won't go if they're not going to have, because you take a look at the sticker shock, it's like, you know what, we should go see a Tiger game. Okay, let's go get some decent seats. How much? How much? And how much to park? How much?
Yeah.
You know, and how, I mean, people are still, especially suburbanites, are still afraid to go down to Detroit, you know, which is really kind of too bad because we're a little Gougers Arena and all that stuff. It's really coming up out of, you know, what crime, you know, and they did. I will say something about the little ripoff arena, you know, the people that they have as ushers and stuff, first rate, top notch, nice people, extremely helpful, you know. And hopefully they keep that going. I mean, Palace was like that the first couple of years. Top-notch everybody. I mean, the thing was run like Disneyland. I mean, everybody was really nice, knew where to go, very helpful, very upbeat, very whatever. You know, I mean, for these people that are getting paid God knows what, you know, probably nothing, you know. But that's kind of what you get. I think it'd be very, very interesting. I wonder if there's a way to find out how much money does a pro team make in a game.
I don't think so. That's information that's closely held.
Yeah, but you could almost go backward, you know, because you could say, all right, how much barrels does a, you know, any given day, I mean, obviously you can't go to the penny, but how many barrels of beer does a football team go through in a game? You know, there's got to be an average, you know, times how much your hot diggity dogs times. I mean, if you have a full, I wonder how much cars, like the parking deck holds, times 30.
Yeah.
You know? So I wonder if I'm not going back further to that. Do they have to sell ticket one? You know? You have to sell tickets so you can buy that $9 beer so you can make that $11,000, $1,100 profit, you know, to get them in there. So wouldn't you lower the ticket prices?
But here's the thing. If you have a team, let's say you have the Tigers. Mm-hmm. The Tigers sucked last year. They sucked 2 years ago. They're going to suck this year. After a while, you start seeing the promos. We have, you know, August is family month. You buy three tickets, you get the fourth one free.
And a hot dog and a Pepsi.
You start seeing these deals come up. Why? Bring them in. Keep getting, drawing people in, even if you got to cut the price and do some deals, you're still going to make a shitload of money off them.
Yep, true that.
Okay, an empty seat produces nothing versus a full seat, you know, somebody sitting in the seat is going to produce a hell of a lot of revenue for them, even if they get a discount it. Okay?
Yeah.
But you only do that when you suck for so long that people start ignoring you. Okay? And it takes a while, I think, for it to set in.
You wonder when the Wings were just dynamite, where they were selling standing room only tickets. You know, and they weren't cheap.
No.
Not at all. They didn't discount. You stood for the privilege of standing, you know, there at the game, and you bought a beer, and you bought a, you know, a hot dog or whatever, and you paid for parking. That's got to be the most insane thing in pro sports as an owner, to be able to sell standing room. And they did sell like one or two, you know. I mean, how do they even have that? Because it's, you can't be in the aisles, you know? So how did they figure out how many people you could have just stand? And then, God bless, who would want to stand for a full professional game? Kids, no. You know, even though it was Wings and even though it was exciting. And see, and that's where everybody jumped back on, you know, when the Wings were actually playing, you know, and giving you something to cheer about.
Yeah.
You know, where the people would put the Red Wing flags on their roof racks and all that stuff. You know, they actually gave you something to be enthusiastic about.
Yes.
Not like this, well, we're in the middle of a rebuild. Well, come on back when you're done. You know, let's see how it goes. You know, some fat chick comes up to you and goes, want a date? You go, no. She goes, okay, I'm going to lose 30 pounds. Come back when you're done. You know, I'm not going to be here. I'm waiting around for you to be old chubber. You know, I got to get into that cave. I can't. With all that gloop in front of it. You know, it's not like the Batcave where I have to see.
There you go.
There you are. And that's our fat chick analogy for today. Thank God for fat chicks.
See how you go from the cave, from sports to the cave?
There you are. Batman waits for you, wherever Alfred may be.
The tunnel of love.
That's true. The manhole.
See?
Go, Mark. Mark's struggling.
See, you go for the manhole cover to the sewer cover at the Pizza Arena. See how that goes together?
To the cockpit.
Well, you know, at least, I will say this for the Lions, though, to their defense. At least if you're going to lose right. And right now they got so many guys on IR, they're done for the year. They're not playing. I don't know what else you have to do to lose, except maybe bench Stafford, put Castle in.
What would be the advantage, except for padding the stats, why would you start him? Even though it's automatic. He knows he's starting every week, you know? But why would you put him in and risk it? You know? Why do you care?
Yeah.
You know, if you're really trying to send the message that we're going to tank, because you're not getting anywhere. But even though today they go, well, there's a path for the Detroit Lions to make it to the playoffs.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I was on the, doing the script here. And I was reading the article, and they had like three paragraphs. Well, if this happens, and this happens, and this happens, and this. And I'm like,
we do this every year.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so you back into the playoffs. You get a road game in the playoffs against the Bears. Oh, yeah, that's going to work out great.
Or New Orleans. The first thing that popped into my head. It's like, oh. And then the best you can do is 8-8.
Yeah.
And it's like 8-8.
Yeah, but you're not even in the hunt anymore. You know? Well, I don't know, with Minnesota screwing up.
Mathematically, you're still alive. But everybody ahead of you has to lose, and you have to win out. Okay.
Well, Minnesota may, you know, lose out. As I'm not seeing anything there that's fabtabulous.
Right. Yeah. But, I mean, you know, normally, you know, if this happens and this happens and this happens, you have a chance. They had, like, three paragraphs, and I'm like,
yeah, this has got to go.
Damn,
and this
really?
Go. Yeah. Atlanta's got to win in San Diego. How does that work, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's like if, you know, Pluto... You know,
yeah,
all of a sudden,
aligns
with this, and Mars, you know, goes around the sun this way, and I'm like, really?
Come Eli Zarrett gets hired in the National again.
Right. Yeah. It's like, come on. You know, just put Stafford on the bench, and just make it look like you're starting Castles, and, you know, make it look like he's hurt, and do it the dignified way of tanking. Just don't say, okay, we're not starting him no more.
Yeah, but see... Since he's such all about the stat, he wants to get the stat of how many times he's started consecutively.
Well, yeah.
You know? That's so, true. I mean, that's all he is. Is I don't know why you're paying
his
stats.
He's a stat guy.
Yeah, you're not going to make any more money than you had now. I mean, if you can't live on 138 mil, you know, even with a fat chick, you know, oh well.
Well, but I'm just saying, you know, I mean, you don't have a running back. Well, you might have Zenner now. I mean, the one guy that did look good.
Yeah, but he looked good in front of what? Arizona.
Well, but I'm just saying, you know, everybody now, that's all they're talking about. I mean, you know, fantasy pickup of the week, Zenner. Fantasy pickup of the week, Zenner. It's like, please, stop. But I'm like, okay, play Zenner and put Castles in. Just and then use the exact same game plan that you used on Sunday. Zenner up the middle. Zenner up the middle. Zenner up the middle. Zenner up. Just use the same game plan because that's what you did on Sunday.
Talk about the same game plan. Talk about Ian Kinsler coming back to Detroit.
Huh?
Yeah.
Really?
Yep. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't hear that one.
Yep. Yeah, because Boston can't keep Pedroia and Kinsler.
Yeah, and since he said he liked the team when he left, I mean everybody always does. You know, thanks for releasing me. Bye. You know, it's like, so they're like, okay, so he's 36. He knows the system. He'll buy you two more years. Then you can go look for a shortstop as opposed to a second baseman and a shortstop, you know.
Yeah, but if he signs for, you know, a couple million or something, why not?
Huh.
Yeah, but would you want to come back after winning the World Series?
Yeah, but put it this way. Boss is not going to keep him.
You got your ring.
Yeah, I mean, in Boston, I mean, do you keep a 36 or 7-year-old guy, or do you keep Pedroia at 20, whatever age he is, 27, 28,
unless
whatever.
He becomes
unless Pedroia's knee or whatever is
doesn't
really
come
that
back,
bad.
Yeah. I mean, so...
You know, well, they didn't sign him. They're just speculation.
Yeah,
speculation.
Okay, you know what, frankly, I look at it this way. If you can get Kinsler here, get him cheap, I mean, we know the guy... He's good quality second baseman defensively. Mm-hmm. Hitting is slid, but look who else you have. I mean, if you get him on a cheap enough contract, it makes sense.
Yeah, but well, that's why what I'm saying. I mean, if you get him for a couple million a year or whatever.
But why would he do that?
To play every day.
But to play every day, yeah.
Yeah, everywhere else, he's a backup.
At 36, you want to play every day?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, well, he'd be leadoff hitter.
Yep.
You know, he'll be number one in your lineup.
Yep.
You know, and the way Gardenhire would love that.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
He might actually let him run. As opposed to the previous regimes.
All right, so
we can't let him steal a base because then they'll just walk Cabrera.
Who's your 1-4 right now for Detroit?
Hitters?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, who's your lineup?
If you bring Kinsler, he's your leadoff. Then you have Candelario. You'd have
if he's there,
Castellanos if he's there, but he shouldn't be.
Castellanos is this close to being traded to
Philly,
Atlanta.
Atlanta.
Well, are you sure it's that close? I mean, they've been talking, but I
didn't see anything.
That's what I heard last night.
Hurry up for what?
Well, that's
prospects.
Yeah, a whole bunch of them.
They've been talking, but I haven't.
Actually, it's not bad.
I didn't think it was that close.
Yeah, that's what I heard on my little.
Oh. Wait a minute, to Atlanta?
Atlanta.
Atlanta's got a nice farm system.
Atlanta's got a shitload of prospects.
But and Markakis is a free agent, so they need a right fielder.
Right.
Well, that might not be too bad as opposed to, like, you know, taking them to San Diego. That's got nobody for their prospects. Yeah. Well. Pull that trigger.
I can't see Atlanta giving up the farm for him, though.
Pull that trigger, man.
God, I don't know what.
All right, so you got kind of a decent hitter, a shitty fielder, and you're going to give us prospects?
Yeah.
What's Avila doing?
And here's what I thought, too. Well, let's see a trade Castellanos, right?
Yeah.
Well, who do you put in right field?
Anybody?
Nico Goodrum. That's what they're going to do. They'll put Nico Goodrum in right field.
Okay.
He can't play in the infield. He sucks. He's horrible. Outfield, he's
marginal. And then you sign Kinsler.
Yeah. We've already signed two pitchers, Moore and Ross.
Former All-Stars. Well, there's a reason why they were former.
Because each of them blew out their arm. You had Tommy John surgery for Matt Moore. He hasn't done shit since. Okay.
Yeah.
Tyson Ross had that thoracic outlet syndrome.
Yeah.
And he's not bounced back from that.
His fastball's 91.
Yeah.
I'll sit on that all day.
So.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what they're looking for. They're looking for a bounce back from one of these guys, so they're tradable assets.
Yeah. But it's been like 3 years now.
Yeah, well, I look at it this way. Ross, I mean, he's been injured since, so there's potential there for a bounce back. He could be horrible, too. He has been horrible at times. Moore, forget it. He's 4 years now.
Yeah, I don't understand where this was supposed to be a big deal besides warm body.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
But still, that's like, okay. The cool thing is, the brilliant thing is, that Detroit did not sign him for Zimmerman money.
Oh, right.
You know, even though they're former All-Stars.
Didn't even sign him for Pelfrey money. Okay?
And only for
that
one year.
Yeah.
Yes.
Good idea. I mean, everybody wins. If he blows, bye. No big investment.
Yeah.
If he's good, then you proved your point and you can walk away.
And if
away,
he's good,
son, you deal
you
him.
You can deal him at the trade deadline.
Yep.
Fast.
Yep.
And for that's prospects.
That's exactly what the mentality is. We get a guy in here, and if we can make something out of him, then we'll be able to deal him for a couple prospects, mid-level prospects. If he's
then
shit,
you stock up the...
you'll walk away like Liriano. That one didn't work. You'll walk away from it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, how many years do you still deal for prospects?
You're still tearing the team down.
This is going to be a long time for this.
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, you look at, well, you blow the team up. This is kind of a slow motion implosion. You're still selling.
I can't, if once Mr. C goes to Atlanta, I can't think of anywhere else you rip down. Everybody else is kind of like new.
Oh, really?
Who? Zimmerman, you can't.
Boyd,
yeah.
Fulmer, if he gets healthy.
I mean,
Norris, if he gets healthy. You still have guys that you would like to be able to trade for prospects yet.
Yeah, the words are if healthy. They
right.
don't count then.
But no, what I'm saying is you're still in teardown mode. You still have guys, if they come through, you can deal off. So you're not on the rebound part. You're still in the teardown part.
Yeah, but I mean, there's everybody there. There's no stars there. If you get rid of Norris, nobody gives a damn. You know, that you came here for a cup of coffee and goodbye. Uh-huh. Same thing with Boyd and all that stuff. Who are you? I mean, it wasn't like, oh, my God, they trade Kaline.
But if they would have gotten rid of Boyd when he was hot last year, they could have got.
Yeah, but my point is this, though. Yeah, the guys that are left aren't the high value guys, but we still have guys that potentially have value if things break right that you would move.
Norris.
So you are not on the rebound part. You're still on the teardown.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And that's why I've been saying this is a long-term deal.
Yeah.
Long-term
project.
If you trust these people.
And even if a team gets into a big bind that they need a closer, Sean Green can even be a stopgap for a team for a closer.
Or not even closer. Setup guy.
Or a setup guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not horrible.
Yeah. Right. He's an average
guy.
We need closer. Yeah. Well, we need a fifth inning setup man this year.
Yeah.
No, no. But what I'm saying is he'll get you temporarily through something.
He won't blow up very often.
Right.
Okay.
But he's not going to bring you a whole lot of
He could bring you something.
Which goes back the other way when we were talking about Stafford. You know, when people go, trade him. What would Stafford bring you?
Probably a second-round pick.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
A number one quarterback?
Uh-huh.
With the fastest of 3,000 yards?
Because of his $35 million a year contract.
Uh-huh. Yeah, okay.
That's
so
why.
Forget about the contract. I mean, in a parallel universe. What would he bring you?
Let me say one thing, though. If the Lions pick up part of his salary, he might be able to bring you something else.
But here's the thing, though.
Forget about the salary. What is he worth?
In the NFL, because quarterback is such a garbage position, there's so much shit out there that, of course, there's going to be a team that's going to see a Stafford, and they're going to go, oh, we can coach him up. We know better.
That will bring some fannies in the seats.
Yep.
Yeah.
So don't tell me that there's no value.
So
there.
What's his worth? I mean, again, be in a parallel universe, suspend belief for just a little bit, that he's got like a normal contract. Okay? So what is he? Is he worth two firsts? Is he worth a first and a second? Is he worth 2 seconds? Is he worth none of that? You know, starting quarterback, fastest of 3,000 yards.
I'd say a first and a second.
Probably.
Yeah.
But I think that limits the first and second round all because of the contract, though.
Of course.
Yeah, right. Now we go back to reality, and we're not going to trade him for at least another 2 years.
Yeah.
You know, but that's what I always thought that was kind of interesting. People, trade him. Trade him for what? What is his worth on the market? Is he worth
the first
round?
That's just like Cabrera. Give Cabrera a regular contract.
What's he worth?
He's worth a lot more.
Yeah.
Because people can afford to give us more because they won't have to deal with his
money. Would you get a starter for Cabrera?
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially in the American League.
Yeah.
Because they can pop his ass into a DH role somewhere and just let him hit.
Right. The problem you have with Cabrera is you owe him $30 million a year for 5 years?
5 more years.
Yeah, that's reality.
Yikes.
Yeah, he's not going anywhere.
I was looking at this the other day. You got Cabrera, you're into him for 30. You're into Zimmerman for 25.
Mm-hmm.
You still owe 8 on Verlander and 6 on Fielder. That's $59 million against your luxury tax limit this year.
What is
those four?
What is the ceiling in the NBA?
About 190, I think.
Right around
190. Yeah. $59 million.
How much is a good shortstop, an outstanding shortstop, worth?
18 to 20, maybe.
All right, so you can get 20 a year for an outstanding shortstop.
Mm-hmm.
Second baseman, about 18.
10, 12.
No more. 15 to 18.
Well, yeah. Well, it depends. Yeah.
Okay. So now you're strong up the middle.
Uh-huh.
The
catcher is going to bring you about 12 to 15.
Okay. So, and now, not real wild about our right fielder.
Yeah.
So our right fielder would be about 15. For an outstanding one, 20?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so just for what you pay Fielder alone, I mean, not Fielder, Cabrera alone, you could have had a badass team.
Mm-hmm.
you know, right. outstanding team.
And that's what I've always said, is that when you look at these contracts, these big-ass contracts, like the Prince Fielder contract, like the Cabrera contract, and you're funneling all this, all the money into one player, two players, doesn't it make sense to sprinkle it around a little bit more and just...
Yeah, but you never see that again.
And, you know, that's why I'm looking at this year. You got Bryce Harper and you got Manny Machado out there. And these two guys, they're going to command these huge contracts.
Yeah, they'll be sitting.
Who's stupid enough?
$300 or $400 million for...
They'll sit.
Five years.
They'll sit, too.
Whatever.
Yeah. Read an article on 538.com recently. Talked about the percentage of your payroll that goes to your top paid player. Yeah. And he said, if you're over 20%, you're screwed. You're screwed. Okay? And generally 15-16% is about right, because you want to have, you know, your top player be a real good player, but you can't have him hamstring you financially.
You can't do it. Well,
and let's face it, you look at Atlanta, they're looking at Castellanos. They're looking at what they're going to get out of him in terms of hitting, certainly not fielding, versus what they got to pay him, because they're also looking at what are we going to take the hit on luxury cap wise. So they're adding players, and they're saying, well, here's a cheap guy we could plug in for a year.
Yeah, but you'll never get another Boris contract. I mean, everybody's hip to this now.
You know,
I mean, you could thank L.A. and Beltre and all those guys, you know, for wising everybody up to see. I mean, all you have to do is Detroit's a poster child. Between Zimmerman and Cabrera, you know, that's what you hope first. That's who the whole big 9 yards are. People go, never, ever. I mean, Boris is almost not effective anymore.
Yeah.
Unless he really comes back down to earth. But, I mean, you signed to Boris just because you wanted that big-ass contract, and he knew the suckers that would pay it.
Sure.
And now they're about dead, and everybody... You'll never see a big contract like that. I don't even think you can... I mean, at one time, that used to be a boasting point for owners. It's like, yes, I can afford $200 million for this guy. And it was, like, supposed to be some big deal, and it never, ever, ever, ever turned out.
Yeah.
You know? And so it's like, okay, I think that's done for a very long time. You don't even have to have a lockout anymore, because nobody – I mean, Bryce Harper is going to sit a lot. You know, he's going to sit all the way up till his demands are lowered by the time spring training comes
around. It's kind of funny. You know, there's different ways to win, right? So what does Washington do? They went out and they signed a catcher. They traded for a catcher and they signed Patrick Corbin.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? When you look at wins above replacement, they've pretty much replaced Harper already.
Yep.
Okay, and you don't have the headache.
Yeah, and were you...
He's kind of an asshole.
And were you all that impressed the way he hit last year?
No. And then you look at Manny Machado. You want to talk about clubhouse cancer?
See you.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't be bothered running out of ground ball.
I think they'd give anybody a discount, you know, to take him off your hands.
Yeah.
But you know that he thinks he's worth, you know, Zimmerman money.
Yep.
You know, I think Zimmerman is the last of the worst contracts. You know?
It's a bad one. It's a bad one.
Yeah, and considering it's 2 more years, I mean...
They backloaded it, so the last 2 years of 25. Last year was 24. Now we got 25 and 25.
Yeah, but brilliant move, his point. You're not going to move him.
$25 million a year for that piece of meat?
4 and 11.
Jesus.
Yeah.
And he hasn't pitched a full season yet.
No.
No. Yeah, I mean, you're another guy that it's on, like, the Pistons right now. But since we don't have time to talk about that, Ken Pockett, what did we not talk about in a whole minute?
Well, we didn't talk about the Pistons. Losers of 5 in a row now. Holy cow.
Yep, falling apart.
We need the bomb. Yep. And we gave Blake Griffin the night off last night because he was tired.
Because his knees hurt.
He's
laughing.
But you know what? We had the Pistons on and we had the Red Wings on. I figured I'll switch back and forth. Didn't happen. I was watching Red Wings. I says, I don't even care about the Pistons.
Yeah.
Red Wings are actually a pretty entertaining team right now.
Yeah, they're kind of doing it the right way. Get rid of the coach, though. Mark Milicek, our sport director, what did we not talk about one whole minute?
What didn't we talk about? Well, the University of Michigan lost a 5-star... safety.
Loving that.
Daxon Hill decommitted from Michigan to Alabama.
He took one look at that Ohio State game and says,
Maybe he's already seen the Pope, so he doesn't want to go again.
And the New York Rangers are the most
valuable?
No singing.
The most valuable hockey team at $1.55 billion.
God, why?
Followed by
Detroit.
My Maple Leafs at 1.35. And then the Montreal Canadiens, the Chicago Blackhawks. Let's see, what else?
Obviously not written by the NHL with true facts as opposed to this fake news stuff.
So, John, and,
go ahead. And an update on the story we had last week real quick.
Quickly.
Ezekiel Elliott got fined for his little escapade with the Salvation Army kettle. Well, this week, Marshawn Lattimore got fined for his little escapade by putting $23 in the Salvation Army kettle, so he didn't get off the hook after all.
All right, so you make sure that you get off the hook, too. All you have to do is see us at Podbean, P-O-D-B-E-A-N, and if you wait 5 whole hours after that, you can go see us at iTunes in the Podbean. Just dial up CKIW and go to the Detroit Sports Authority. So for our Super CPA, Ken Pocket, and our sport director, Mark Milicek, John Sarver says, we will see you again next week at the same time here for the Detroit Sports Authorities.
Bye!